Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Starting off with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. Hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs are going to go up on, well, Wednesday and Saturday morning, so you can look for one of those tomorrow. Over there. But of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right. Well, sadly, Dan, you know, I took Dallas Keuchel last night, and he actually lost. But he still had a pretty good outing. He racked up 37 points for me on FanDuel. You know, the problem is some of the guys I really thought would have decent nights didn't. Wilson Contreras took a zero for me. And Charlie Blackman, I actually ate a zero there. I was a little surprised by that. I only ended up rolling in at about 90 points. So, of course, that's not enough to win anything. But we carry on. So I heard that I got a tip from a baseball fantasy guy that it's a good idea to have Diamondbacks in your lineup today. So I went with three of them. Starting off, though, I'm going with John Gray as my pitcher. He did cost me $9,000. He's facing the Padres last night. I figure the Rockies got shut out last night. That's probably not going to happen two nights in a row. So hopefully they'll score some runs for him, and we'll see how it goes here. But starting with my first Diamondback, Chris Iannetta is my catcher. He's hitting fifth in their lineup tonight, and he cost me $2,400. Of course, if you're talking Diamondbacks, you have to go with Paul Goldschmidt. He cost me $4,200. He's hitting third in their lineup tonight. We'll get to the third Diamondback in a minute here. Brian Dozier is my second baseman. He's leading off for the Twins tonight. Cost me $3,900. Third base, I went with David Freese of the Padres for $2,700. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. My shortstop is Wilmer Defoe of the Nationals. He's actually leading off for them tonight. And at $2,500, I figured I would try to eat up the Mr. Fantasy extra at bats there. All right, wrapping up my Diamondback trio, I went with J.D. Martinez as my first outfielder. Cost me $4,600, but he's hitting cleanup tonight, so I hope that works out. Next outfielder is Byron Buxton of the Twins. He's hitting sixth for them, and he cost me $2,900. And then I wrap my lineup up with one of Dan's favorites. I'm going with Melky tonight against his former team. He's hitting third for the Royals tonight, and he cost me $2,800. So the quick recap here, I got John Gray pitching, Chris Iannetta catching, Paul Goldschmidt at first, Brian Dozier at second, David Freese at third, Wilmer Defoe at short, and my outfield consists of J.D. Martinez, Byron Buxton tonight. So, all right, Dan, since, you know, we kind of start with baseball being the deal that it's FanDuel, we had our first announced manager casualty already, as the Tigers have come out and said that they will not renew Brad Ausmus's contract after the season. So he is he's done there. Are you surprised? I mean, the team is kind of struggled, and you know, it looked like they're maybe trying to rebuild with I guess they're going to build around Miggy's contract, because I'm not sure if anybody's going to take that, but they're 62-91, and they're actually only a half game ahead of the White Sox, so they have an opportunity to finish in last place.
Well, they shouldn't have traded away Justin Olsen and Avila.
Wait, we started on a bad note there. You were a little underwater. The only thing I heard was Avila come out of that sentence.
I said they shouldn't have traded away those two. They'd be off better, way better.
Yeah, well, you know, do you, you know, since his father is the GM, do you just assume that, Avila goes back there next year as a free agent?
Most likely. I mean, do you really think it's, of course, it's always the manager, the one who has to go, because the GM's not going to fire himself. But,
right.
I mean, next year and over the next couple of years, I mean, then is it going to be proven that he's kind of the issue?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they, you know, even when they made the change, all they did was promote the assistant. So I, you know, I don't really know if they helped themselves or, you know, however they did it, but, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those things. I'm not, you know, not sold on. I mean, I get that Osmus has to go. Oddly, right now, Dan, it appears that he's about a 500 manager. I'm sure he's going to end up below that. It looks like this hasn't been updated since August, so I'm sure he's quite below that now. But do you see him getting another shot? Do you think somebody takes a look at him and hires him?
Yeah, you know, the thing that sucks for Major League Baseball coaches, managers, is it's not like the NFL where you can bounce back and, you know, be a coordinator or, you know, down the line. So at the moment, I don't see him getting another job.
Yeah, you have to wonder if maybe he'll catch on as a bench coach or something. But here, his updated record, he's actually 312 and 325 as of right now with however many games remaining. But, you know, I mean, this year, I don't know what they really expected the guy to do. You know, they shipped off Justin Upton, who oddly still leads the team in home runs and RBIs, and he's been gone for, I don't know, about a month. You know, they shipped off JD Martinez, who has just been destroying it since he got to Arizona. You know, and then they ship off Justin Verlander. So, you know, you kind of start looking around, and it's like, okay, well, I guess we're in, you know, full rebuild mode, and it's going to be kind of the setup where they're going to, you know, rebuild with, I guess, Miggy as their one piece, kind of like the White Sox are doing around Abreu. I believe Ian Kinsler's a free agent after this year, so they can allow him to walk. I believe Castellanos, I think, is still in arbitration, and he's had a pretty solid year, 269 with 24 bombs and 94 RBIs. Dan, we talked a little bit yesterday about Albert Pujols. Are you worried about Miggy maybe heading down this path? Because looking at his numbers this year, he's 250 with just 16 bombs and 60 RBIs.
I think he's pretty much in that realm, isn't he?
Well, you know, I thought he was okay, you know, last year. I know he's been, he's been battling some injuries. He always seems to get himself a little dinged up, and I think even this year he's only played in, you know, 128 of their games. Well, no, here you go. Last year he was healthy last year, and he hit 316 with 38 homers and 108 RBIs. You know, this is his lowest batting average since he's never hit under 268 before this, and that was back in his first year in Florida. So, yeah, you know what I mean? You know, obviously he's played in, you know, over 2,000 games now. It's actually 2,224. So, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear there. He's, you know, he's in his 15th year. He's 34. But, you know, he signed through 2023, and the contract can extend till 2025 because he's got vesting options for, you know, 2024 and 2025. I don't know. I mean, in your eyes, are we seeing, you know, the decline? Or are we gonna see Miggy do the Pujols slide? Or, I mean, you think he's there already?
No, I think he's already there. I don't think we're going to see it or see. You know, unless, of course, he finds a way to be able to take off an entire season and come back, he might get a resemblance of himself, but we both know that's not going to happen.
So, yeah, and for him, for his vesting options to activate, he has to finish in the top 10 in MVP voting. But, yeah, you know, like, he's looking at, he's owed $30 million for 2018, 19, 20, and 21. And then 22 and 23, it jumps to $32 million. So, you know, he's on the hook for a ton of money. I mean, there's no way anybody's taking this contract. So I guess he's going to be there through whatever they decide to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I know they have had, you know, they had some decent luck. You know, I know we mentioned a little off air, you know, when they made the deal with the Cubs, they acquired Jamar Candelario, who really didn't hit when he was up with the Cubs. But for the Tigers, he's doing pretty well. He's hitting .362 with a couple bombs and nine RBIs. So maybe the regular playing time will help him, but you know, I'm kind of looking at the rest of their team here, and I don't know if they really have pieces to build around. You know, I don't know if they have that one young marquee guy, and I don't think they got anybody back who is going to jump out at you in any of those trades that's going to come up and help right away, did they?
No. Candelario, and he's just going to continue to learn, isn't he?
Yeah, you know. Obviously, you know, they do have Michael Fulmer, who they can build the staff around, but, you know, he's out. He's done for the year. They shut him down. I don't believe it was Tommy John or anything like that, but I do believe he required some type of surgery. I want to I'll have to use Dan's favorite search engine here and ping his name and see if I can find out what his issue was there that kind of shut him down. So yeah, they opened up his elbow and they rerouted a nerve. But yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it looks like he's going to be ready for spring training. You know, he's obviously the guy, you know, they're going to work around. You know, they have some young guys. You know, we saw Matthew Boyd go 8 2/3 against the White Sox, no hit. You don't know, you know, that's the question you got to decide. Well, was it just because it was a young White Sox team, or maybe he found something? I know they've been waiting for Daniel Norris to turn into something. You know, they paid Jordan Zimmermann a bunch of money to, you know, have a 6 ERA this year. So that's wonderful. I don't know. I mean, I know we heard about Buck Farmer. He struggled as a starter. He's got a 7.11 ERA. So yeah, another year under his belt and, you know, he picks it up. You know, I remember, God, I can't even remember how many years ago this was. This was 3 or 4 years ago. They were dead set on Bruce Rondon being their closer until they realized he couldn't throw strikes and he managed to walk everybody. He's kind of corrected that problem a little bit, but sure, he's got a 10.91 ERA. So apparently those strikes are getting hit now. So yeah, there's not a, man, if you're a Tiger fan, there's not a lot of hope for this team. So yeah, I don't know. You know, who wants to manage this team, Dan? Are they going to have to go get some young guy? Because I don't think a veteran manager isn't going to take this job, is he?
No, I was going to say, can you get LaRussa out of the Diamondbacks organization and bring him back down to the field? Or is he done traveling?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, he's probably got such a cushy job now. Why would he, you know, why would he give that up after, you know, all these years, you know, after all the years now? But, you know, yeah, and obviously they can't hire Rick Renteria because he's working for the White Sox. But I think that's the kind of manager they're going to have to look for, isn't it? They're going to have to look for a young guy who can help develop players, right?
Pretty much, and you wonder if a guy who speaks Spanish.
Yeah, well, that's almost got to be a requirement now, isn't it? With kind of the influx of, you know, Latin ball players, you've almost got to speak Spanish.
Well, you know, and this one might sound crazy, and I don't know if he would even be up for it. But what about Javi?
Yeah, you wonder, you know, if he's interested in getting back in the, you know, in the managerial game. You know, I mean, he's been out of it for quite a while, but I wonder, how do you think his style would go over in, you know, Detroit?
Well, you know, I think one of the things, I don't know how who he could defend up there, you know, but of course, we never know. But you know, kind of like Madden did here, he could take the focus off the players on the field and put it a little bit more on himself.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you need a guy more like that.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it would hurt them, you know, if they could get a guy like, you know, like Ozzy. You know, again, I'm just not sure if he would be interested in the job. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of under the – well, you know what? I was thinking maybe they'll go – do you think they possibly offered a job to Alan Trammell? You know, he was the Cubs bench coach for a long time. It looked for a while like he was going to be in line to get a managerial gig. You know, he's Detroit royalty. You know, he played his entire career with the Tigers. I mean, he's the guy. Do you think they do something like that? I mean, that would appease the fans, bringing a guy like Trammell back, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, that was my next question I was going to ask you. You know, who's kind of been in their organization that you think can succeed there? You know, are there any other kind of young coaches in that?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, like lifelong Tigers who have recently retired, or, you know, even guys who, you know, were there a long time. That you know, have just kind of gotten out of baseball, but I don't know too many off the top of my head. Who?
No, nothing.
Oh. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, for the longest time they had Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker. You know, those are the first two guys that popped to mind. I don't think, I know Maglio Ordóñez was there for quite a while. I think he was a Tiger longer than he was a White Sox. You know, so he was there for, you know, for a very, you know, a very long time. But, you know, I don't think Maglio or Whitaker are even, have even coached anywhere. So.
No, I was going to say, I haven't heard the name Maglio in years.
Yeah. So, yeah, just trying, you know, kind of. Yeah, I was, you know, I'm trying to remember the last time, you know, Maglio's even kind of been around baseball. You know, maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, he might be working with somebody, you know, because he's from, you know, was he Venezuelan or was I, you know, but he, you know, it's possible he could be there. So, you know, yeah, you just kind of. You know, you kind of wonder, but yeah, I'm looking just real quick to see if there's you know, anybody.
There's not listed on the MLIB app, so I found that pretty interesting.
So yeah, it doesn't seem they have like too many, you know, too many long reigning. You know, guys on their roster. Jeremy Bonderman was there for, eight seasons, but he's a pitcher. I don't know if, he's interested in transitioning to managing. Tom Brookings was another guy, played about 10 years there, but I think he's officially retired. I think he coached for, a while and then just, finally gave it up. So I don't know if, if they could coax a guy like him to come back. But yeah, I don't know if you could find a, I mean, if you're going to go with a former guy, you might as well just go with Trammell, and be like, okay, well, he's the guy, he's got the coaching experience, while he's never been a manager, obviously he could still, he's been the bench coach. And so, that's the kind of circumstance that leads to being a manager. So, but yeah, we'll have to see what candidates' names pop up as we move along. But I did see here, Dan, I was a little surprised by this, but Noah Syndergaard is actually going to return and make a start for the Mets tomorrow. Now, you know how this goes. This always brings a giant amount of uproar with it because, the experts always want him shut down for the season and, why are they even throwing it? I kind of like the idea of bringing him back and letting him get a start or two just to kind of go into the off season like that. What's your take on it? I mean, are you cool with the start or would you rather just see him say, oh, okay, to hell with it. Let's wait till spring training.
I mean, you might as well just get him a start, let him play. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, individual numbers really only count for the Hall of Fame at the end of the day. And I mean, they're not going anywhere, so what is it going to hurt?
So, it was odd because they announced in the same statement that not only is Syndergaard going to make a start on, tomorrow, but that Matt Harvey will pitch out of the bullpen the remainder of the season. Kind of like, oh, okay, well, let's just sneak that in while we're talking about something cool. Let's slide in the fact that, yeah, we're going to stick Harvey in the bullpen now because, well, he's kind of stunk. So, we'll see how that goes for us. But yeah, I'm the guy who kind of likes, let him get a start. I mean, even if he only goes five innings, if he makes two starts and pitches 10 innings, that puts him way ahead, I think, going into spring training next year. And I kind of like the idea, of just letting him, go get a little bit of work in and see, where he is and how he stands. And, you got to protect him because he's a pitcher and apparently they're not supposed to pitch. So, but we'll see.
Well, not only that, it's for them, it's for him too. How does he
right.
feel?
And,
you can spend an entire off season throwing in a bullpen or, in your backyard or nicely air conditioned, perfectly temperature building, but it's not the same as live baseball. That's major league players.
Yes, I completely agree with you. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But locally here we had a pretty exciting game that I missed the end of last night. The Cubs came back to win in extra innings. I think that's huge for where they are now. I think it puts them on a really good pace. It's John Lackey against Brandon Woodruff tonight. I think Lackey's been better in his last few starts. Can the Cubs go get two in a row here against Milwaukee? I mean, that would really, I was thinking all they needed was a split and, they wouldn't have to worry. Milwaukee may get close again, but I don't think they could win the division. Can Lackey go out and seal that up and just, lock it down tonight for the Cubs?
I think he can as long as, his offense produces for him early. But I think you just need him to get through five innings. That's pretty solid ball.
Yeah, you hope he, you know, like I said, I'm hunting down his game log here, hoping I can get a look, because for some reason I was under the impression he'd been pitching fairly well. Obviously, he had the last outing of the Cardinals that was shortened by the ejection. but the Cubs actually did win that game 8-2. He went 4 2/3 there, but like I said, he was tossed. But yeah, he went 7 against Milwaukee last time he faced them on September 8th. He pitched well, 7 innings, 4 hits, just 2 runs, struck out 9, walked 2, but the Cubs lost that game 2-0 because they didn't score. He did shut the Braves out for 7 innings on September 1st and got a win there. So yeah, he's been pitching better. You know, and I like the fact that he's been giving them at least 7 quality innings. Again, we'll throw out the ejection against St. Louis. That's, you know, he would have stayed in that game had he not been ejected. And who knows, you know, I believe, does it have, yeah, he had only thrown 74 pitches. So he probably could have got at least 6 innings out of that start. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's weird because I know, you know, I mean, you look at his record, he's 11-11. He's got a 4.62 ERA, but, you know, we're talking about a guy who has a pedigree. You know, I mean, he's been on world championship teams before last year with the Cubs. I believe it was either as a rookie or maybe a second-year starter. He started Game 7 and I believe won it for the – were they the Anaheim Angels, I think? Yeah, were they Anaheim or did they have the long name back then? I don't remember. But, yeah, so, I mean, he's got that pedigree. I mean, can he be the guy tonight? I mean, you know, like I said, he's facing Brandon Woodruff, who, I mean, I don't know much about. I'm going to have to hunt down Brandon's stats here while you're telling me what you think about that, Lex.
I think he's like 2-2 right now with a 3-something ERA. So, you know, I still think a young pitcher coming in.
Yeah, he's only 24. So
yeah, and I mean the Cubs did play well up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he had a really good outing last time out against Miami. 7 innings, 8 hits, 3 runs. Didn't walk anybody. Struck out 5. But you know the outing before that against the Pirates, he really scuffled. So he, you know, looking at his card here, he's only made 6 starts. This is only his 7th start. He's been a little up and down. So the way this kind of works is this should be a down outing. So, maybe the Cubs can, you know, kind of jump on them and get something rolling. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, I know, is it odd that sometimes they struggle against these young pitchers? I mean, is it the fact that, you know, maybe they just don't know enough about them?
I think that plays a big part into it. But, I mean, you know, even last year, much of Milwaukee's pitching staff did well against them.
Yeah, and then I had a kind of a chuckle today because, you know, when you're, you know, a sabermetrics buffoon like a lot of people are nowadays, you know, RBIs are one of the things that normally doesn't matter. Well, then lately today, I've heard some buzz and some talk now about how maybe they've been a little wrong about that and RBIs have become important. And obviously, I believe they're important because you need to drive people in. And, you know, this kind of leads me to the point of Joe Maddon and his wonderful batting order. Dan, do you realize Chris Bryant has 69 RBIs this year? He's actually 4th on the team. You know, to me, for a player like Bryant, that's a bit of an embarrassment. Shouldn't he be a 100 RBI guy every year? But the fact that his manager is just kind of a complete tool with the lineup and he hits 2nd every time and there's, you know, rarely anybody on in front of him. There's nobody for him to drive in. Isn't this kind of absurd?
Well, you know, the theory is second leadoff guy, batting 9th, that he should be able to drive in. But he's proven that nobody's that bill and nobody really gets on base to be driven in the 8 or 9 spot. So I guess that's where the asterisk comes in for him.
Yeah.
Or for Brian, at least.
Yeah, because looking at it, he's the best hitter average-wise on the team out of the regulars. All right, like Albert Almora has a better batting average, but we know he never plays because they don't like him, and their excuse is he can't hit right-handed pitching. He seems to every time he pinch hits. You mentioned some of those other guys. Well, you know, the guy who's been hitting down there that should be on in front of him is Addison Russell, who's hitting a whopping 245. Ben Zobrist spent some time in the leadoff hole. He's hitting 233. Kyle Schwarber was up at the top of the order for a long time. He's up to 208. So, yeah, it's kind of ridiculous that they can't get anybody on in front of this guy. And he's got, you know, Rizzo's the only guy with 100 RBIs. He's got 107, mostly because Bryant is on base in front of him for him to drive in. So, I don't know. It's just kind of a joke to me that all of a sudden they decided, well, maybe RBIs are a little more important and we should look at them. And, you know, so now will that change the Cubs batting order if RBIs become important again?
Yeah, I mean, it should bring us back to the 1940 days, as Joe Madden has put it. But, you know, again, it's funny because he does his progressively, new lineups throughout the season last year. But when the postseason rolled around, he stuck with the same traditional lineup for the postseason.
Yeah.
So if you want to call him an enigma, but I call him a contradiction of himself.
Yeah, he's quite the toolbox as it is. But I just, you know, Chris Bryant was the first guy that popped into my mind because I know you have talked about it repeatedly about how you hate the fact that he hits second in their batting order. So I figured that would be the perfect guy for you to kind of discuss it with.
We talked about this back in March, you know, because we knew what the lineup was going to be. And the thing that killed me the most is, I mean, yay, he stuck with the plan, you know. But his plan didn't work for almost the entire first half. Really didn't work for the second half. Yet you just kind of stuck with it. And it just made absolutely no sense to me. Especially with your leadoff batter being a guy who should be a DH or behind the plate playing left field.
Yeah.
Batting, you know, 150 to 175 for 3 months. You got to go and you have to admit when you're wrong. And I think that's the biggest problem. He can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely does not seem to be that guy where he's not going to say it was his mistake or anything like that. But, yeah, I just thought that was the perfect thing. You know, Bryant is the perfect foil for that because, you know, obviously, you know, eventually you look at numbers and you're going to go, man, those are all the runs he drove in. So,
I mean, was his run count much better though? Yeah, you know, was he at least driven in?
Was his what?
Closer to 100 times? His run.
Yeah, I actually believe I believe over 100 runs. Let me double check that because I switched off the screen. So let me jump back on and get his run total. Yeah, he's scored 105 runs this year.
So that accounts for Anthony Rizzo's 107 RBIs.
Yes. Yeah. That, you know, again, when, you know, Brian's the guy hitting, you know, 292, and the odd part, of course, is, you know, this is a guy who, you know, rookie of the year MVP, and now he's, you know, a guy who, you know, they just, you know, kind of, okay, well, he's going to go here. Yeah, great. We're going to plug him in here. Great. Let's go with that. Yeah. So, I don't know. Oh, but all right. Well, you know, Dan, we finally got a fascinating Thursday night football game. I unfortunately was the only one to lose it. The Rams did beat the Niners 41-39. The Niners made a really big comeback, though. They tried the 2-point conversion to tie the game, and it didn't work out. Looking at the stats here, Dan, though, I'm really hoping I'm not matched up against any of these guys in our fantasy league this week. You know, Jared Goff threw for 292 yards and 3 touchdowns. Brian Hoyer threw for 332 and 2 TDs. He did have a pick, but he also had a rushing touchdown.
Oh, wow.
Todd Gurley, who you know somebody, you know, is probably starting in a league for everybody, had 113 yards rushing with 2 touchdowns. Then he added 5 catches for 36 yards and a 3rd touchdown. Carlos Hyde on the Niners side had 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have 3 catches, but he didn't score. The Rams had 200-yard receivers. Robert Woods had 6 catches for 108 yards. And your guy Sammy Watkins had 6 catches for 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Niners did have a guy go over 100 yards as well. Pierre Garçon, who I actually have on a team, had 142 yards, but sadly he didn't score, but that's still going to be a big night. You know, Dan, the first question that popped into my head, you tweeted me this morning about it. Why didn't you pick Sammy Watkins this year? I think you've had him the other 2 years he's been in the league.
I think it was one of those I just couldn't get him. And I wasn't buying the Rams and Jared Goff, but I don't know. I mean, maybe I was just kind of lumped the Rams with the Chargers. And I think they've got something going.
Yeah, well, you know, I have such a hard time figuring the Rams out. You know, they look great week one, but it's proven now that Indianapolis stinks. But then they came out in week two and they laid an egg against Washington. But then again, they looked good last night. Now, San Francisco has played 3 really tough games and lost them all. You know, they were in all of them. I don't think they even gave up a touchdown to Carolina. But, you know, so I thought, okay, at home, you know, San Francisco's going to be ready to go. And, you know, I did forget to mention, I doubt anybody has the 2 guys Brian Hoyer threw touchdown passes to. If you're starting Trent Taylor or Garrett Celek, maybe somebody starting Garrett Celek in our 2 tight end league, that would be the only possible reason he would have been there. But those are the 2 guys who caught the touchdown passes for San Francisco. So,
yeah. But I see why the quarterback throwing the ball, you know, can be detrimental to your team without having a solid established running game. I mean, granted, you know, like you said, Gurley did really run for the Rams. But to me, it looked like after the second half, more so into the third and the fourth quarter, that the amount of time spent on the field by the Rams defense is just couldn't hold up to, you know, really keep the 49ers from continuing to score and almost taking the game over.
You can kind of see that in the score. You know, the Rams had a pretty decent lead heading into the fourth quarter. It was 34-20, and then the Niners put up 19 points in the fourth quarter, you know, 19-7. So, it definitely, I mean, I could see that kind of playing out to your point, you know, maybe the Rams wore down a little. But, yeah, you know, I'm sure the NFL was just happy they got an exciting game, right?
Yeah, well,
Yeah, it figures the time I'm off and I get to watch the entire game, it's a bust. But, you know, this game actually gets, you know, it's exciting. So,
well,
did you play any of those guys, or are you playing any of those guys this week against any of those guys?
That I haven't double-checked, but I know I did not have anybody from either team go last night.
So yeah, my only guy was Pierre Garçon. I should probably look and see what he did. Maybe I had a defense or a defensive player or something go, but you know, it wasn't too much there. So.
Yeah, I may have had a defensive player, but.
Yeah, hopefully I didn't have a defense because, you know, both teams scored way too well for the defense to put up any, you know, any wonderful numbers there. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it was, you know, just like I heard the final score and I was like, wait, what? You know, what happened in this game? So I was like, wow, that was kind of impressive. Yeah, it looks like Pierre Garçon scored me 19.7 points last night. So that's a big plus there. And I picked up 6 points from somebody else in one of the other leagues. I don't know who the heck that was. But, hey, I'll take them. You know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah, I guess I
double check and make sure
this
is Yeah, so, yeah, Pierre Garçon was the only guy I had going. I'm on here. I can hunt down your team real quick. So while I am on this one, this is I think this is the auction league. So let me there you are. Get Dan's team up here real quick and see what he's got. No, you didn't have anybody go in the auction league. You have a zero. So.
No, in my craft team, I had the Rams tight end who didn't do anything.
Ah.
G. Everett.
Yeah, and then like you know, and like oh. Yeah, you know, in the Snake League, I got 6 points out of somebody here. Who'd I get, a kicker or something? Oh, no, I had a defensive guy go. I had San Francisco's defensive tackle picked me up 6 points there. So that's a little bit of assistance for me. I guess not too bad to get 6 points out of a kicker there. Or, excuse me, a defensive player there. So
both teams, I didn't have anyone playing, so that's how it worked.
Oh, well, that's a plus. See how that worked out. So, but you know, since we did venture into football here, I really wanted to get to this yesterday.
Well,
and sadly, we just kind of ran.
Hold
out
on 1 second.
Right
before we bounce into that. When I turned the game on, all I could think about was you and Color Rush jerseys.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on that. So that was terrible. So I went blind when I turned the game on. So it was just one of those things. But, yeah, you know, like I was saying, I'm sure you probably came across this or, you know, however it worked out. But, It was reported yesterday that former New England Patriot tight end and convicted murderer Aaron Hernandez had CTE, Dan, and his lawyer came out and basically, without saying it, kind of implied that's why he committed the crimes he did. Now, that's complete BS. I think anybody who knows anything about CTE knows that. But now there's actually a lawsuit filed on his daughter's behalf against the NFL. I don't know much about it. Let me see if I can, again, I'll hit Dan's favorite, you know, site up here and see if I can hunt down something. But yeah, are you buying the CTE caused him to commit these crimes?
No, he was proven to be a violent man before that. So,
right.
You know, I mean, maybe the Chris Benoit movie will shed some light onto something. I highly doubt it. But, I mean, it's pretty much to the point where the NFL – on draft day, you're going to have to sign a waiver that you can't sue the league because you want to get paid millions of dollars to play a game that you know could be detrimental to your health for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm actually a little surprised they're suing because, in reality, they should be set. He got a pretty big payday from the Patriots before all this came up. So,
mm-hmm. and his, you know, suicide event pretty much left him without any charges. So technically, he doesn't go down in history as a criminal or a murderer.
Yeah, well, you know, the odd thing about that is now, you know, they're going to sue and claim that this did all that to him and blah, blah, blah. You know, since he died in prison, you know, or however it worked out, the man he killed is a gentleman by the name of Odin Lloyd. His family had a lawsuit filed against Aaron Hernandez's estate, which automatically was thrown out because Hernandez died. So while there's a chance that Aaron Hernandez's family could profit, they're asking for $20 million. The guy he killed, that guy's family gets squat because of the way the law is written.
I
so,
mean,
yeah,
on his
you know, just one of those, yeah.
So it's just another lawyer trying to make a name for himself going after the NFL?
Yeah, they're saying here, apparently they filed a concussion lawsuit. And they filed against both the NFL and the New England Patriots. So it appears the lawyer's name is Daniel Wallace, or Wallach, excuse me, who they describe as a prominent sports attorney based in Florida. So, yeah, it looks like he could possibly be just a advisor on this. It looks as though maybe it's a different lawyer who filed for Aaron Hernandez's estate is what they actually filed for. I had saw earlier that they had filed for his daughter, but it says in this article here that it's for his estate. But yeah, either way, I know, you know, the NFL and the Patriots have already came out and said they're going to fight this. And my guess is it probably gets settled out of court and we don't hear about it again. But I would definitely be interested to see how his lawyer attempted to prove that CTE caused him to be, you know, the person he was. Because you know that's what they're going to go with.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just funny that they would settle something like that out of court when they have no issues with having highly publicized bouts in the league at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
over a suspension.
It's interesting the way they kind of choose to handle things. But you know, I mean, if you settle it out of court, it goes away. You don't have to deal with it. You know, there's no noise, no press coverage. You know, it's just one of those things that might be easier for them, even if they believe that they might win the case, which, you know, it's possible they might. But, yeah, I just, you know, I think I was more appalled at anything that they're basically trying to profit off a murder.
Pretty much, that's the way I
you know, not, no, yeah, I mean, no matter how you look at it, you know, and I mean, I'm sure they'll try to play it up that the money is for his daughter, you know, even though I don't know how much of that $20 million she would actually, you know.
But, I mean, even that, I mean, she's already set for life. I mean, normal people have to actually.
Well, you would think.
You know, you
do wonder, you know, they're. You know, I mean, there is a fiance involved who has to raise her, and you don't know if, you know, she'll, you know, lose that money or how it works out. But even so, I mean, you'd like to think, yeah, everything would be fine.
Yeah. Well, and if they squander it all, it's, I mean, it's kind of their fault. I don't know how you
right.
do that much.
Yeah.
You know.
You would, you know, and it's so weird that people don't look at it that way when people do that. You know, it's like you had all this money and you lost it, you spent it, you were stupid with it, but now we're supposed to feel sorry for you and give you more. And to be fair, I don't think they have thrown away the money. I think they still have whatever they have or however it worked out. And you know, I mean, God forbid that, you know, his former fiance would have to, I don't know, get a job. So, you know, something like that maybe. So, but yeah, I was just kind of appalled when I heard that yesterday. Cause while the lawyer, again, the lawyer didn't say it, but man, he did everything but say it. You know, I mean, he used the initial CTE in every single thing he could. And it was just like, really, you know, you're going to try to turn this poor gentleman's murder into the NFL's fault. So, but yeah, then kind of to the funnier side. Yeah, as always, right? To the kind of funnier side of the NFL, Dan. There's already talk after 2 weeks that the NFL believes it might be best for the Chargers to move back to San Diego.
Why? Because of the negative press they're getting?
No, the attendance is just pitiful there. You know, there was a story that came out that I think it was week one, but the combined attendance of the Rams and the Chargers didn't match up to the attendance that the college team in the area, the University of Southern California Trojans, drew in just their one game. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting. So,
well, you know, I mean, the Rams, it's, you know, it kind of sucks for you because the owner's shelling out $500 million to, you know, relocate that team. And, you know, we talked about it before. I mean, the NFL is the NFL. With all the fines they push out, and, you know, can't they loan the money to the Chargers and fund their own, you know, to help fund the team instead of relying on
the
people?
Yeah, you know, obviously, yeah, the big issue was the fact that they wanted a new stadium. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, you couldn't get it, so we're leaving. You know, and like that, you know, that's worked in places. I mean, you know, the Vikings said that, you know, hey, we need a new stadium or we're out of here, and they got a new stadium. You know, in a way it worked for the White Sox. You know, they said they would go to Florida, but the mayor was a Sox fan and he helped them get the funding, you know, they needed to stick around. You know, the Raiders do this every other year. I think that's why they're moving to Las Vegas, because they couldn't get a new stadium. So, yeah, you know, this is one of the few cases where it's kind of blown up in a team's face. But, yeah, they need to do something. You know, I don't know if going back to San Diego is the answer, or, you know, I guess the question would be, would the fans care? I mean, would they show up if they came back?
Huh. I guess that's the one thing I didn't think of. Because I know the fans are still pretty upset about the fact that they left.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I can't blame them. I mean, you know, you know, especially in, you know, in this kind of time with, you know, everything going on, you know, it's just like, why are you going to expect the fans to pay for, you know, your stadium? You know, you're making multi-millions of dollars as a, you know, NFL team. You know, if you want it, you pay for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, not everyone in that town is a Chargers fan or a football fan.
Right.
And, you know, to top it off, I mean, you're asking people that pay and upwards of, I'm sure it's like Chicago, but I heard San Diego is one of the most expensive cities in the country. You're asking fans that are paying, you know, a minimum of $200 a ticket to help shell up $500,000 or $500,000,000?
Yeah, you know, yeah, here you go. We need some more of your money. Could you give it to us? So, you know, it's just, again, you know, it's just one of those goofy things that, you know, it's worked in some towns and, you know, it didn't work in San Diego and, we'll see what happens. But yeah, with the way their attendance was, it can't continue to go like that. They have to, you know, they have to come up with something, even though they're only a couple weeks into the season. You know, it's just like, really, you know, this is the only people who are showing up.
They're going to have to relocate just one game to see how it draws down there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the thing you wonder. You know, maybe it's kind of like, okay, maybe we just play a game here and see what goes on. The even worse part is, you know, they're playing in a small stadium as it is, and they're not selling that out. So I don't know what happens when they move into a bigger stadium.
Well, I mean, kind of like, hey, we're Los Angeles. We're, you know, the market goes New York, LA, Chicago. Hey,
yeah.
You know, I'm Magic Johnson. I want to help bring the NFL because we're the, you know, pretty much the biggest city in the country, let alone on the West Coast. Oh, you're going to give us two of the worst teams in the NFL? That seems like a great compromise.
Well, you know, to be fair, the Rams were actually in LA first, so they just went back. So, just one of those. No, they actually started in LA, then they moved to St. Louis. So, that was, you know, that was their thing, but
the Cardinals were in St. Louis. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Yes. So, but yeah, you know, what's so weird is, like you brought up, you know, it's New York and LA are the top two markets. And until they put teams in LA, neither city had a team. While there are two teams that carry play their games in New Jersey. So, you know, while they are the New York Giants and the New York Jets, the games aren't played in New York. You know, maybe they could have done that with LA. They could have just called it an LA team and let it play somewhere else where people would show up.
Anywhere in California?
Yeah. You know, I mean, kind of do it like the Baseball Angels did and just add Los Angeles into your name. Ram of, you know, Santa Clara or something like that. So, all right, well, it's time for Dan and I to go, but hey, thanks for listening. We appreciate that. You know what to do while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow. What else goes on? Oh, yeah, link over to the Facebook page. You want to give that get a like for us. We'd appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. We'll always talk back to you. We don't have a problem with that. You know the deal also, if you want to listen to the podcast anytime you want, whatever, day, night, whatever you're doing, get over to tunein.com and you can find it there. Don't forget, Mr. Fantasy and I are here at 10 a.m. Sunday for 2 big hours of, good Lord, 2 big hours of Mr. Fantasy. That sucks. Fantasy sucks.